you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Believe You Me podcast, 2 episodes in a week. Bow, 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 bow. Harrington, no, don't do the stupid faces. We're not going to pick on you. We're not here to bully you. We're here to have a beautiful environment
for
talking
podcasts.
Well, that is correct. Brian, we love you with the little inserts. How are you, Harrington?
Dude, I'm great. We're doing a show on a Thursday. We have an incredible card this weekend that we didn't get a chance to talk about really at all on Monday's show. So, you know, it feels like the old days, and me as a nostalgic old baby, I love it, dude. I love doing Thursday shows.
Oh, look at you, you little sweetheart. yeah, listen, thanks everyone for supporting the podcast. We love doing this show. So we thought we're going to come in because I've got time, and Harrington's got time, and Brian's got time. Anthony Smith does not. Now, listen, we've just lost half the fan base. They're tuning out. They're like, no, we're only here for Anthony Smith. Well, tough shit. You've got me and Harrington to deal with today. Anthony will be back on Monday. And Monday's show, looking like I've had confirmation, we're going to have Darren Till and Hamza at the same time. So that's going to be a good one. So tune in for that one. Don't miss that, Harrington.
I don't know how that didn't get a bow, 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 bow.
Well, because I've only got so many bow, 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 bows in me. Do you know what I mean? If I'm doing it every 2 seconds, people are going to be like, this podcast really is better when Anthony Smith is around. You know what I mean? But still, Brian just says, I got your impulse. Thank you, brother. Don't you forget. All right. You know the start of the show. We always let Harrington throw some nonsense at us. And I'm a little scared. But still, Harrington, go ahead.
Okay, so this one I found kind of interesting. Like the headline here is like a bully gets his, you know, just due, right? But it's a little awkward for me to call the much younger, much smaller man here the bully. Brian, if you just want to play this video.
John, don't do nothing.
So look at this little guy here. He will not get out of what seems to be a grown man's face.
Don't touch the people.
Yeah, do you know what? I think I've seen this before.
Yeah.
What's he saying about his mother?
I can't.
Okay. All right. I mean,
this goes
it's a
on.
It's a bonus episode, but this is not bonus footage, Harrington. What's going on? He's being a little prick. I tell you.
He's yelling some ignorant shit.
Yeah. I believe he's trying to call the kid's mom right now to get him to, you know, just come over and get him off. Apparently, now this kid in the yellow shirt had been picking on like another young kid. And this guy was like trying to get in the middle of it.
And for the audio only listeners, and shout out the audio only listeners, there's a little kid and he's now attacking a grown man. The grown man's laughing, he's throwing punches, the man's blocking, but then eventually he grabs him by his throat right there and throws him to the floor. And now the kid's crying. Now the kid's upset. Now, I believe this is an old clip, so shame on you. If I had the bell, I'd ring it, but I don't, so you're lucky. But I'm sure Brian, once again, in post, will take care of that. Never mind that, but I've seen that before. What happened? What happened to the adults in that situation?
Well, so apparently he got in, like, you know, a lot of trouble because only the footage of him grabbing the kid by the neck and being thrown was released. Apparently the kid's mother, like, cut the thing up, and the guy got, like, you know, he got blasted on social media. People were calling his job to get him fired, et cetera, et cetera. And then now this longer clip is out, and it's like, oh, yeah, this guy is clearly, like, vindicated in this. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the problem in this day and age. Everybody has a cell phone on them. Everyone's filming everything. So you might just tweet certain things. I'll be honest, when I'm looking at that, all right, So he grabbed the kid by the throat and he certainly threw him down to the floor with a bang. Yeah, and he was a little aggressive there and he certainly lost his temper. He lost his temper a little bit, but there is a but, there's a big but. The little kid should not be throwing punches at a grown man like that. The little kid should not be trying to block his way. The little kid is what I would refer to as a little shit. And at the end of the day, if he got thrown down to the floor and there wasn't serious injuries and he didn't have to go to the hospital and he didn't break his back or anything like that, well, guess what? Lesson fucking learned, right? My mum always told me, there is someone bigger and better around the corner. Took me a while to find that person, but generally there always is. And that little shit learned that lesson very quick. The youth of today, I sound like such an old boomer bastard and I apologize, but the youth of today, they don't know what they're doing. Harry's like an itchy, see you itching to get in.
No, he, the man, the grown-up in this situation did tell him, like, kid, if you keep swinging at me, I'm going to throw you to the ground. And the kid just keeps swinging and swinging. If you know, a little bit later in the video, he pops up. The kid pops up and immediately starts screaming child abuse, and then cursing at, like, adults around him, too. So it's like, this kid is clearly just on one and looking to get this guy in trouble.
And you know where that all starts? That all starts at home. You know, it really does, by moms, dads, parents pandering to them, not holding them accountable, not being strict enough. I mean, I've never laid a finger on any of my children, but they still do as they're told. Not that I'm some big authoritarian, because I'm not. I'm not like the strictest dad in the world. If anything, I'm the opposite. You know what I mean? I wish I could be a little stricter, but I love my children dearly and we have a house of love. Do you know what I mean? And we don't tolerate being disrespectful to one another or to other people. And clearly he's being allowed to run around and do whatever the fuck he wants, Brian.
Oh, I skipped ahead a second here. This is wild.
Fuck it up! You fuck you, lady! Fuck you! You need this fucking asshole. Fuck you, whore!
Oh my God, fuck you, you whore to a grown woman. I mean, listen, I was a little shit when I was a kid. I was an absolute tearaway. I was a little wanker. I never spoke to grown adults like that. I don't think so. Do you know what I mean? Because in my year, My day, you would have got a clip round the head. Simple as fucking that. And with my old man, shout out Jan, hope you well, Dad. You get the fucking belt with the buckle end around you. Sometimes you get the fucking the garden cane. I remember I might have told the story, like my dad, whatever we'd done, and we deserved it. We were little shits, you know. It was the '80s, by the way, as well. It was a different time. You could whack the shit out of your kids, and no one cared. You know, in fact, other parents would come over and join in and go, "Yeah, come on, think for me, the little shit." But I'd be up the castle, which was real close to where I lived, and me and my brothers, or whatever, we'd done something wrong. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, my dad would pull up in the car and he'd go, "Right, get your fucking ass home. Right, I fucking heard what you've done. Get home before I do." Right, and he'd be in a car. He said, "If you're not home before I am, you're fucking dead." And I'm like, "Dad, you're in a car. Impossible." I'd run like a madman. And to be fair, it had the desired effect. I did not mess around. And he'd be waiting at the end of the garden with the cane in the hand. But, you know, we probably deserved it.
Did you ever get soap in the mouth? That to me was the absolute worst. If I got caught calling an older, you know, an adult, a fucking whore, are you?
Whoa! How many times were you calling older people a fucking whore, Harrington? So much so that your parents had to combat this by sticking soap in your mouth.
That's the worst thing. Soap.
No. I mean, obviously, I got a beating as well, but specifically with the cursing, though, like that's what triggered it for me, right? Like I used to get it when I would say "God damn," right? Because it's like now you're taking the Lord's name in vain. All of a sudden, we're putting bars of soap in the mouth. You just got to sit there with soap in your. It's the most humiliating. It's disgusting. I hate it.
But I hear this on American movies. You know, I wash your mouth out with soapy water. I didn't know people actually did this because that does sound disgusting. I've never experienced soap in my mouth once. You know what I mean? What was I going to say? My nephew, actually, this was it's kind of related, so I'll bring it up, but he was the victim of some bullying recently. Jacob, I shouldn't say his name. I'm sorry, too late. I already did do. Sweet little kid. He's a really, really sweet little kid. And sadly, you know, just like any parts of the world, there's little shits out there. There's little dickheads. And these three kids, you know, they all ganged up on him at the local park, you know, beat him up, bust all his nose, covered in blood. And the little shits filmed it as well. They filmed it on the phone just to, like, you know what I mean, just to add to the embarrassment. But we're going to get them, Jacob.
And here's the footage.
Yeah, don't you worry. Yeah, exactly. Send it in, pyimpod@gmail.com. If you've got this footage of my nephew getting viciously beaten up, send it in and we'll send out a free T-shirt for you. But yeah, anyway, it starts at home. The parents, they need to get a fucking grip.
So what do you do with that footage is my question. Like, is it, do you put that on Instagram to, like, get bragging rights about you, like, 3-on-1 jumping a kid? And, like, are these kids just incriminating themselves? Because you got to figure if there's footage, somebody's going to get suspended for that.
Yeah, well, I don't know about, obviously, my nephew's circumstance, but generally that is the case. I mean, there was one recently, and there's a guy called Farron Paul, I think his name is, on Instagram. He does a lot of work. You know, it's no secret that in certain parts of the country, there is problems with knife crime and things like that. And from what I hear as well, with the knife crime side of things, and this is a bit boring, guys, but it's they're kind of trapped into this corner. You know, in certain parts of the country, which are, like, very rough, and, you know, there's that kind of activity going on. They feel that if they don't have a knife, then they're screwed. So everyone's carrying goddamn knives, you know? And then when a fight starts, what are they doing? They're pulling out a goddamn fucking knife. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's such a messed up situation.
England
God.
Is wild.
Yeah, Farron Alex Paul. Yeah, I mean, look at that.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Yeah, that's not a knife. This is a knife. I was like, holy shit, that is a knife. That is a medieval head-slicing weapon. I'm out of here. What was I going to say? I was gonna get a little rant, but never mind. But that Farron Alex Paul does a lot of great work. Keep it up, brother. Harrington, one more before we get into the UFC action.
Okay, so this is kind of funny. There is a man who is a staunch believer in polygamy, right? So much so that he currently has 9 wives. One of them is set to divorce him because she's no longer about this lifestyle. Sure.
Question. And I get that. 9, like, and this isn't me trying to be funny. Is he a Muslim gentleman, though? Because I believe Muslims, I'm not sure, Brian, maybe you can look that up. They are allowed a number of wives. I mean, that guy's living fucking life. Is that the guy?
Is he living life? Yeah, that's him. He is. Well,
I mean, let's go through them. I mean, you've got the Beyonce lookalike right there to the left. Then you got the Amy Schumer wannabe. Right?
That's the one you want to leave at home.
Yeah, that is. You got the Kim Kardashian wannabe to the right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, he's having a good time, though. That's for sure.
And it's like the, you know, the varying heights, the varying, like, you know, it's a different, you know, like, there's a reason Baskin Robbins sells 31 flavors, right?
He's literally got to pick and mix whatever he's in the mood for that day, whatever flavor, whatever kind of ethnicity, he's got it boxed off. Seems like a smart guy. What's the issue, Harrington?
Well, the issue is one of his wives has decided that polyamory is no longer for her. She wanted him all to herself. And you know, that didn't vibe with the lifestyle he was there for. So she's going to go and get a divorce. He's fine with that. His brilliant idea, replace her with 2 more wives, bringing the total to 10, and then to have a kid with every single one of them.
Yeah, well, he's out of his mind. You start throwing kids. I mean, number one, he's out of his mind anyway. Let's be honest. I mean, Jesus Christ, that sounds like a headache. But he's going to, where do you find these women? Where do you find these women? I'm serious. Just look up that up on the Muslim thing, because I think you are, like, allowed 11 wives or something like that. Or am I very, very, very misunderstood there? Maybe I'm wrong. As I say, I'm not trying to be funny. Where do you find these women, though, that are happy to be part of a harem of bitches? Do you know what I mean? Because, you know.
Probably Instagram. It says here that you're allowed to have up to 4 wives in the Muslim society. Right.
All of a sudden, I'm very religious. I hear Muslims are great.
Bismillah.
Well, I mean, Harrington, what's your take on all of this? This was your suggestion, Yoni. I mean,
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, indeed. You know, Jesus Christ. Hey, if you can find 10 women to marry her, fair play. And if they're all happy with it, who are we to judge?
So, I mean, he did say that the one who's leaving, right, was probably in it for the wrong reasons. He said she's probably
She's in it for the wrong reasons. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, what are the right reasons? I'm marrying a man with 9 other wives for the love and the relationship and the dedication and, you know, words.
Well, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I'm processing it as, like, you know, that wife needs to, you know, give him like 1/10 of the attention, cook him 1/10 of the meal, spend 1/10 of the time watching, UFC with him.
Well, these are strong, independent women, Harrington. This is not the 1970s, okay? Back in the 1970s where you could beat your kids up, you would also have your kids or your wives cooking your food, giving you foot massages, you know what I mean? Little rumpy-pumpy here and there, do you know what I mean? These are clearly at the top of the business world, okay? They are out there, they're breaking deals, they're CEOs, they're CFOs.
Sure, Instagram is a business, and I guess OnlyFans right?
Yeah, exactly. Nah, we're being silly, we're messing about. My God, though, that sounds like a headache, if I'm honest.
Like dealing with 10 pregnant women at the same time sounds like the absolute nightmare, right? Because they're all going to have different weird cravings at different weird hours, different hormonal things going on. Like I'm dreading that aspect of like,
hey, Rebecca, come here. Let's see what she thinks. To be honest, Rebecca wasn't a pain in the ass when she was pregnant. You know what I mean? There was no weird cravings or nothing like that. In fact, I was fighting Dan Miller and we were waiting for Lucas to be born. And he was taking his time and the team all went on ahead without me. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting for him to come along. Come and join in a second here. No, put this in. And the whole team went ahead without me. And so I was like, Beck, you got to hurry up. You got to have this baby. And anyway, she did have the baby. Lucas came along, as we know. And the day after, I woke up in bed. I'm like, what's that smell? She made me my breakfast, my bacon, sausage, eggs, mushrooms. You know, the morning after giving birth. Isn't that right, babe?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't actually remember doing it, but apparently I did.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Made me look like a goddamn liar. Why don't you?
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm sure I did, but I don't actually remember doing it.
I've heard epidurals are awesome.
Yeah.
Can I just say I did not have an epidural with any of my children.
Tougher than me.
Didn't have an epidural, didn't have any pain medication, just
that is dude, that, don't
shot
say
it out.
That. Don't say, okay, first of all, don't say it. And there was no shooting out. It was very hard, long labor. Okay. Ignore what he's saying.
It was. Brian,
it was.
I know.
Don't.
I am not diminishing the labor and the pain that you went through.
You
I know.
Not.
I am not. We're trying to swiftly move on. Brian, pick up that picture of this man and his group of gentlemen. What do you think this guy in the middle? I mean, he is a dream, right? No wonder he's got 9 wives, right?
He's a male model.
First of all, I would not call him a dream.
He's a male model.
I don't find male models attractive.
I was going to say he looks about 5'9" or 5'8". What are you, Harrington?
I'm about his height. 5'9", 5'10".
A good old Conor McGregor height.
I mean, yeah, 5'9" in real life, 5'10" on Tinder.
Yes, I'm 6'2" in audition, 6'1" in real life. Brian, what are you, like 6'2"?
I am 6'3", according to the doctor.
Ryan. Rebecca loves a tall man, don't you, babe? And a deep voice.
I don't care about the voice.
Oh, you do.
Anyway, you try and deepen it.
What would you do if I said, listen, we've had a good thing, babe. We've been together a long time, but I think I'm going to introduce 8 other wives. What do you think? No, I'm serious.
Yeah, Rebecca, would you share with any of these classy young ladies?
Okay, what am I meant to say? Absolutely no way on this earth. Not 1, not 2, definitely not 8.
Yeah. All right.
What are you talking about? You couldn't handle 8 women.
Oh, Michael, don't worry, I'll edit this part out.
Can we just get real here? This is not, it's not about how I feel. It's just about facts here. Could you handle 8 women, Michael?
Well, the nagging, no. But I could, I could fulfill them sexually.
Oh, could you? Could you? Okay.
All right. I said this moment we're going to say goodbye.
Oh, I think I better go.
You better get out of here.
Or I get a slap.
Yeah, slappity-bappity. Bye-bye, then. Take it easy. Love you too. My God. I'm
great
a young
virile
sexual tyrannosaurus, I'll have you know. Mm. All right, guys, let's just hear from Manscaped real quick. Yes, that's right. The premier product if you want to clean below the waist. That is correct. You know what it's like. You know, now and again, you got to do a bit of housekeeping. You got to... Let's be honest, you've got to shave that pubic hair, but doing so can be a minefield. It really can. But fortunately now with the Manscaped, and with the Manscaped 4.0, right, you don't have to hurt yourself. You don't have to cut yourself. You don't have to have questionable scabs all over the crown jewels. And trust me, because I did it a couple of days ago. I am smooth as a baby's bum down there. And not just that, I did the chest. I did my arms. It's great. Listen, this is the way to do it. The Manscaped 4.0 is getting better and better every time. 2, 3, 4. Now we're on the 4. It's really good, okay? It's waterproof. You get an LED stand, right? The engine's better. The safety's even better. Let me tell you. But it doesn't just end there, right? Manscaped has a whole variety of products. You know what I'm using right now? The Manscaped 2-in-1 shampoo. It's fantastic. I used to use Head and Shoulders. This is the one. What else do they have? They've got the Crop Reviver, which is a spray on toner for your balls if you smell it. They got the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer if you want nice moisturized balls. Then that is the way to go. Of course, proprietary skin safe technology, which does help prevent the nicks, the snags, the tugs in those delicate little holes. Listen, you need to trim downstairs. Do it this way. You will not regret this purchase. Go to manscaped.com. Whole variety of products, as I said. The code is Bisping20 when you're at manscaped.com, and that's going to get you 20% off and free shipping. Trust me, if you're a man or even a female out there, you know, you want to be scaping, you want to be manscaping, okay? And you can use it for other parts of your body. Go to manscaped.com, whole variety of products. Anything on that website is 20% off when you use the code Bisping20 when you go to manscaped.com. All right, where were we? All right. What are we talking about then? We've got some MMA stuff to go at, I'm assuming.
Oh, man, unfortunately. All right, so this actually, you sent this in to the group right after the last show ended on Monday, and I just think this is interesting and something to maybe touch on. Korean Zombie, his translator, you know, selectively translated some things, let's say. He left out one key part of you know, Chang Sung Jung's speech there in the octagon. That being that during his post-fight press comments, he said, "I know now I can never be UFC champion."
Yeah.
Why would it, like, you know, it's kind of messed up for a translator to leave that out, but I think it does kind of color that post-fight reaction a little bit more, no?
Well, it does. It makes you understand it a bit more, because if you remember, Zombie was on his knees and his hands and knees, all fours, and he was clearly very, very emotional and very upset. And I think at that moment in time, he kind of realized, because listen, I think it was 9 years since his last title fight. He just got a title fight there. Didn't go his way. Volkanovski handled him, you know, very, very comfortably. So the reality is he's not going to probably get another title fight, you know. And that, when you put your heart and soul into it, when you dedicate so many years, when you've really made that your life, but then you get that realization. Not to mention he's probably concussed as well. You know what I mean? So there's that side of things as well. It's a dream. He wanted to represent Korea. He wanted to be the first Korean champion, you know, and it's hard to take, because for some people, like for me, I became champion. And I say it didn't validate my career. It didn't validate all the sacrifice, but it might have done, because I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying? Because maybe I'd feel like that if I was there for so long and never got to fight for the belt or never became the champion. You know, everyone dreams, especially if you're good enough to get to the UFC, of being a champion one day. That is the creme de la creme. That's the top of the mountain. You are the number one person. 7 billion people on this planet, and you are the man. Do you know what I mean? And it's a dream that not a lot of people get to live. And sometimes it's a harsh reality that you've got to accept. Now, when it comes to the translator, many different theories on this. Sometimes the translators are very nervous. Do you know what I mean? I've experienced that. Sometimes they don't want to say certain things. You know, sometimes the translators are the managers. I'm not talking about anyone in particular, but Valid Ismail, Davison Figueiredo. I know he's definitely translated a few things that weren't on there. I remember, I think it was Ed Suarez, Anderson Silva's. I think he might have misspoken a few times, because Brazilians used to say to me, "That is not what he said at all. Porra, porra. No, brother." he's got straight to a fucking Hamza these days. I can't do anything else. Like, porra. No, that is not what he said at all. But, you know, oh, well, God bless him.
Well, yeah, so I'm looking at it here. 163 was the last time he fought for a title against Jose Aldo. Then, you know, we have obviously the leaving to go and join the South Korean army, comes back. UFC 273, 110 pay-per-views later, challenges for a title at the age of 35. You have to assume this is probably the end of the road for his title aspirations.
Yeah, and you know who else it's the end of the road for? Marlon Moraes. Marlon Moraes, he's thrown in the gloves, sadly. It's crazy. Marlon Moraes was so good back in the day. Do you know what I mean? He really was. He went on that knocked out Aljamain Sterling with a fucking head kick seconds into the fight. Many other people as well, and then just kind of struggled lately, I believe. So well done to him. And if the zombie does hang it up, then God bless him as well. Cesar Gracie says that Nick Diaz is coming back before the end of the year. Did you know that?
I did hear that, and I heard...
Is that why you put it in the notes?
Uh-huh. That is why I put it in the notes. A couple of people have even mentioned his name recently, like in the last week, including friend of the show, Gilbert Burns. I mean, I don't know about all that, but who would you want to see next fight?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see him against an up-and-coming contender. No way, you know? I mean, when he came back last time, he didn't look... He got fired the night, I believe it was, because him and Lawler just stood in the pocket, and in the third round, he was like, I'm done. I'm tired. I'm overweight. I'm out of shape. I didn't prepare properly, and I'm beaten tonight, so God bless him. I would like to see him against someone in a similar position, like Donald Cerrone. Donald Cerrone would be good. He fights at 170. Of course, he's fighting Joe Lauzon at 155 on the next pay-per-view, I think, as well. They're opening up the main card. But he can bump back up to 170. Donald Cerrone, Nick Diaz, that'd be awesome. Here's what I said this on my YouTube channel the other day as well. It's a bit, some people might not understand it. What about Jorge Masvidal? Do you know what I mean? Put the BMF title back on the line. He beat up his little brother. See if he can do the same to him. You know, Jorge's lost three in a row as well. It'd be a fun stylistic matchup. So, yeah, there we go. There we go. What do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, Jorge is very much in need of a win. And he's very much, it seems, like looking for that money fight. I don't see him fighting like a Gilbert Burns or any of the other like top five, the Vicente Luques or Bilal Muhammad's of the world. Like Jorge Masvidal is going to be that guy, the number three highest paid star in the UFC. He should be fighting big fights. And I mean, you know, a Diaz brother is always a big fight.
But that's it. You know what I mean? With that kind of contract, they ain't going to put you in against no scrub. Diaz, you know, he's still a name. Yes, okay. Maybe some of the new fan bases, the noobs, as I do believe they're called. But some of the noobs might not be overly familiar with him, but they'll know his brother. You know, you got to remember, Diaz has been going around forever, man. Old school guy. I'm just looking at the notes here, Harrington, and I'm just genuinely curious. We're on the MMA side now, but what is this? Having trouble thinking of a... This is what Harrington does. Having trouble thinking of a baby name. This woman will help you out for the low price of 10K. Now, without clicking on the link, are you seriously saying there's a woman out there saying she will help you think of a baby name, but she wants $10,000 for doing so?
Yeah, so she has like she started a blog, you know, in like 2015 that like breaks down like the genealogy of like certain names. And what she'll do is she'll go in and you know, have a whole conversation with you, find out where your ancestry's from, find out every single person in your family who's had it, you know, right on down the line. She charges between $1,500 and $10,000 for her services.
What the fuck am I doing, man?
What am I doing talking to Harrington for a fraction of that? Listen, this is clearly, and I don't know because I haven't clicked on the link, but anyone that can afford that kind of money, right, is obviously directed at the rich, the very well-off, and, you know, and the housewives, or maybe not housewives. Well, no, housewife, because they're fucking they're pregnant, that wants to be indulged. You know, let's be honest, you say you'll sit there and they'll talk about it and they'll make it all special. You know, like when my kids were born, as I told you, I left the day after I went to a fight, but there was no gender reveal. There was no popping of balloons and there's blue glitter or pink glitter. And then what do they have? They have a gender reveal. What else do they have? Baby showers.
Baby showers.
There was none of that. Rebecca always gets very jealous when she sees this stuff because we got nothing. We got no pictures. We got jack shit. Oh, you're pregnant. Oh, God's sake. And then 9 months later, a baby comes out, you know?
We might save a sonogram.
A what? Yeah. No, we've got it somewhere. We got the picture somewhere. And I've got a beautiful little blog, actually, that I made on a really bad camera. But this is just another version of that. Do you know what I mean? I think, I hope, do I sound like a sexist pig for saying that? I don't believe I do. They want to be indulged. And hey, if this woman can convince people to part with that kind of cash for helping them come up with a name, hey, God bless her.
So it's like, you know, here's like an example, right? I'm struggling with a baby name. I have a son named Liam, a girl named Quinn, and a girl named Reese. What do I name, you know, the baby girl that's coming?
Liam, Quinn,
and Reese. Mm-hmm.
Liam, Quinn, and Reese. I mean, she needs help, doesn't she? Let's be honest. I mean, Quinn? Who calls their kid Quim? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Yeah, stupid name. stupid show. Were you a fan?
Nah, but I was forced to watch it every now and then with my grandparents.
I remember that show, Sunday Nights, BBC. I remember it was in the UK.
It was always on right before Touched by an Angel, which was another crappy CBS show.
Yes. Not familiar. Anyway, moving on. Gilbert Burns called for a rematch with Khamzat Chimaev. Harrington.
So I thought this was kind of interesting how he broke this down, right? He's like, look, I did you the favor, right? Like, I think that this, you know, this could have been different if it was a 5-round fight. I had initially asked for a 5-round fight when we set it up, but I'm not belly aching, right? Every interview he did all week, he said, Khamzat won that fight fair and square, did not take the low road at any point. But he said, I did you the favors. I was number 2, you were number 11, and I gave you that fight. I'm asking you to return the courtesy in one of your next 3 fights. Seems reasonable.
It does seem reasonable, and it seems very gentlemanly, and it seems it's what we've come to expect from Gilbert Burns. Let's be honest. He's been on this show many times. The man is a class act, and I picked Khamzat to win on here, on my YouTube, on BT Sport. I hope he has no ill feelings, because fighters are sensitive people. Do you know what I mean? I hope he didn't see any of that. I think, fuck you, Bisping. After I came on your show, Boha. I can't do a Brazilian. Boha, obrigado. Right? But
is that Renato Laranja or Michael?
It is. He's coming back on the show. But I like what he said in the next 3 fights. Because realistically, you know, I understand his point. He did, I guess, accept that fight because there wasn't much to gain for Burns. If he beats him, so what, you beat a guy that was what, ranked 9 or something? Number 11, yeah. So he didn't do him a favor. It's not a favor, but he gave him an opportunity, as he said. If Khamzat beats Colby next, he's going to fight Kamaru Usman. If he beats them too, then I guess you give him a shot at the belt if Burns has won 1 or 2 in the meantime. And I'll be honest, with that fight being the way that it was, there's a very good chance the UFC are thinking the same thing anyway.
Yeah, who's not going to run back a 3-round fight of the year contender as a 5-round fight if both guys are still evenly matched? Like, this is, you know, Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard, it's like, you know, let's not even get out of bed for this one. Like, this is, you can just do this in your sleep for certain.
Yeah, well, we'll ask him about it on Monday. But as I say, he's joining us for the show, right? So we'll talk all about that.
Well, Khamzat did have a quote on it.
Go ahead.
In 5 rounds, I take your soul. See you soon, boy.
Yeah. No, I did see that. Yeah. Quoting a bit of Yoel Romero there at the end. You never know. Maybe Gilbert would have took his soul. You know what I mean? Maybe. The end of the fight, Gilbert was coming on strong, landing those 3 right hands in a row. You know what I mean? Someone's soul's going to get taken. Yeah. I don't think either man could endure that kind of damage for another 2 rounds.
Yeah, that was like, I remember talking to my best friend who got me into the sport during the course of the fight. And he's like, if this was a 5-round fight, both men would be just catatonic by the end of it. Like, there's
your best friend's
name? Little doubt. Matt Nishu. What's up, buddy? I was the best man in his wedding. I love that guy.
Oh, you were going to say someone else. Come on now. Let me see. All right. Well, yeah, no, that's great. Burns would also gave his take on how bout with Usman and Khamzat would go.
This was interesting.
Go ahead.
So this is the only man who's been in there with both of them, right? And essentially what he was saying is that Kamaru Usman hits a little bit harder, right? As evidenced by the fact that Usman was able to put Gilbert Burns down and Khamzat wasn't. He also said that his Kamaru's wrestling is better, you know, and that his fight IQ is significantly higher. So he does think that if it happened, although it'd be a tough fight, he thinks Kamaru would walk away with a victory.
Yeah, and that's not exactly a hot take. I mean, Kamaru's incredible. Pound for pound, number 1, seemingly getting better and better all the time, which is the crazy thing as well. Now, I see his point that he was able to tell Kamaru was able to take Gilbert out of there, but Khamzat wasn't. But every fight's different. You know what I mean? Let's remember this. Burns almost had Kamaru out of there in the first round. He didn't almost have Khamzat out of there in the first round. Do you know what I mean? So you can play that game all day long. MMA math doesn't stack up like that. Kamaru and Gilbert could fight again. It could be a completely different fight. Who knows? Maybe Kamaru finishes him in the first round. Maybe Burns wins by a decision. Look at me in Rockhold 2. That's what I kept saying to him. Dude, if you think that fight's going to be the same, you're out of your mind. Every single fight is different. We're 2 world-class guys. We've both got striking. We've both got conditioning. We both know how to fight. Every fight is different. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people are just better than other people. Yeah, and those fights will always go like down like that. But when it's two guys that are kind of evenly matched, you never know what's going to happen.
Right, and then add in, you know, like you said, Kamaru has been looking better, but there's a certain level of comfortability in his last three fights. He fought Gilbert Burns, who he trained with for years, Jorge Masvidal, who he'd already beaten, and Colby Covington, who he'd already beaten. Like, he knew exactly what he was getting into. Khamzat is a completely new equation to solve, so I would like to see him face a new challenger. And are we still thinking Leon Edwards is up next for that belt?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe International Fight Week, that is confirmed. I mean, Dana White said that too, was... obviously, things change until there's contracts. Dana White said that when we did UFC London, we had a BT Sports show. Dana came on as a guest and he said, yep, that is happening. International Fight Week. excuse me. So, I mean, as long as Hamza is unbeaten, as long as he beats Chaos Covington. I mean, Kamaru even mentioned Colby as another potential challenger. That's crazy. That's crazy. Listen, I'm not shitting on Colby Covington. I'm not. He just got two fucking title shots. So did Jorge Masvidal. It's time to start fighting different people. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but from Kamaru Usman's point of view, if I can keep banking rubies and title defenses and cash to beat up a guy who I know cannot on his best day beat me.
You want to pay me rubies now? My God.
No, I'm talking rubies in the belt.
Oh, sorry. Rubies. Yeah. I thought you were talking rupees.
No, I don't think
is that the currency in India?
In Russia, I believe, no?
Rupees? No, rubies? That's rubles. It's
rubles,
isn't it?
Rubles. Yeah.
Rupees is from India and also Hyrule, if you're playing.
The land of no bridges. Anyway, or stolen bridges. Heavyweight kickboxing champion. Sorry, former boxing champion Andy Ruiz, who of course knocked out Anthony Joshua. That's his big claim to fame. He is fighting Tyron Spong. When and where?
For Triller in July in Mexico City. So it's like we now have a guy who's two fights removed from the fighting for the, you know, three of the unified world heavyweight titles to fighting on Triller. Is that, be honest with me, is that better for Triller, right? Is that make Triller going up, or is it Andy Ruiz just cashing in on a moment in the sun?
Well, let's remember, because you're right, you could say that, but as fighters, we are prize fighters and the prize is cash. And Triller do seem to have deep pockets, you know what I mean? I think they're putting a lot of stock into Andy Ruiz there. I mean, Andy Ruiz did knock out in sensational style Anthony Joshua, you know, but then the rematch, he looked awful and he got super fat. I mean, he's already a big boy anyway, but he put on a lot of weight. He was obviously enjoying the championship lifestyle, and he's talked about how he made a lot of mistakes there. But, you know, he's fighting for money, and if Triller have got a spare few million lying around they want to give him, then, hey, why not? Why not? God bless him. But careful, Tyron Spong. I mean,
these men have very different physiques.
I know which one out of them two would definitely have a better chance getting nine wives. And it ain't Andy Ruiz saying that, though, with all those bloody pesos that he's got these days. He'd do all right down in Mexico.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm pretty sure he got a Snickers sponsorship, which really kind of screwed him over in the rematch against Johnson. But I mean, they're. You know, the interesting thing here, Spong is undefeated as a boxer. I believe he's 14-0 since moving on from kickboxing into the MMA/boxing world. But he did have a fight scheduled against Usyk. I can't remember
Usyk?
That guy. Usyk. Yes, he had a
Alexander
fight
Usyk. Oh, he's a beast, man.
He had a fight scheduled against
Tyson Fury.
Mm-hmm.
He's fighting. He's fighting Anthony Joshua again.
Yeah, they have to run that back because it's a contractually thing. But he did have a bout scheduled against Usyk, but you know, he popped for all kinds of PEDs, which I don't think Triller is going to be checking for. So it's like, is Andy Ruiz stepping into, you know, kind of a loaded situation there?
No, you never know. You never know. But be careful, because Tyron Spong is 14-0 for a reason. Professional kickboxing record there, 107-7. I mean, come on. The man's a beast. The man's a beast, but he's been around for a long time now as well. Maybe started to slow down. He fought on Khabib's Eagle FC, didn't he, recently? Yeah. And actually, what was it? Did he get choked out or something in the third round?
I think it was
he lost.
Let me check. Yeah, it was his first ever loss. It was his first ever loss in MMA, and yeah.
What is this? The number one boxing podcast on the planet? My God. All right. Let's go.
keep it moving right along then. Did you see this one?
We said we weren't going to talk about this, but I do want to talk about it. Bellator. Okay. Bellator's undefeated middleweight, featherweight, excuse me, burping weight champion. Antonio McKee, give the call of Harrington, go.
So AJ McKee says, look, I you did your Grand Prix, right? Which I won $1 million in. So now that I fought for $1 million prize, I never want to fight for less than $1 million again. I'm contractually signed to defend this title, so I'm going to defend it this week. But if you ever want to see me in this Bellator cage again, you better be putting seven figures together.
Bye. Yeah, no, I saw the clip with Helwani this morning, and yeah, I mean, good luck to him. I hope he gets it. I really do. I hope he gets it. And I do know this. I do know that Bellator, you know, they're paying some people some big money. I know Rampage, when he went over there, was on a crazy contract. It might have been like $2 or $3 million. I don't know. I'm hearing from, you know, in Chinese whispers, we call it in the UK. What do you guys call it? Telephone? Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, maybe it's one of those. You know what I'm saying?
Through the grapevine.
Yeah, through the grapevine. But a lot of people were going to pay great money, so you never know. However, if he's standing there and he's trying to hold their, what was it, the feet to the fire or whatever, he's trying to say, listen, if you don't pay me this, where else is he going to go? You know what I mean? Because I doubt he's going to come over to the UFC and make $1 million right off the bat. If he comes over here, dominates, becomes a champion, and becomes a big pay-per-view star, then of course he's got a chance of making multiple millions per fight. But off the bat, I doubt he's going to get that kind of contract.
Well, how many people did he fight for that $1 million, right? You have to, that Grand Prix.
That was a Grand Prix. Exactly.
Like, you have to fight like three or four people, right? Four people? Yeah, he had
same
four fights
PFL.
To get that $1 million. Well, I'm sure you can make $1 million in four fights in the UFC.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's 250 a pop, you know.
Right.
But what's
also
your thoughts on it?
He's also, and I think this is kind of interesting. I've never heard a fighter say this before. He said he's looking for back pay, right? So like all
I saw
fights,
that. That's just retarded. Shouldn't
I
say
liked
the R
it.
Word. You want back pay? You're trying to go back and say, you know, that fight you should have paid me more, and that fight before you should have paid me more. So yeah. Pay me more going forward. Shut up.
I mean, if you have proven what you're worth is.
You're out of your mind. Out of your mind. If you go and try and have some negotiation, you go, oh, by the way, I shouldn't have agreed or signed a contract to fight for that amount back in the day. So I want my next fight you to pay me more. You will get laughed out of that negotiation room so quickly. It is hilarious. I don't know who's advising him on that there, but whoever it is needs to fucking stop advising anybody, right? So
this is kind of interesting.
What industry can you get a raise and then be like, oh, can I get this raise for my last year's pay? That's
fucking insane,
Mike.
You know what, Harrington? You have done a really good job for Gas Digital lately. Why don't you call up the two boss men and just say, by the way, I want to backdate it for my next contract. What do you think your response is going to be?
Well, actually, I'm not going into this on air. For sure.
What do you think your response is going to be? Do you think you're going to get backdated?
It's going to be bye.
It's probably going to be throw on the boxing gloves, Harrington. We'll fight about it.
Anybody walks in to a negotiation and says, you know what? I agreed to too little for that fight. I said, well, maybe you did. But the reality is you did agree with it. You made your bed and you got to lie in it. You know what I mean? Going forward, God bless him. I hope he makes as much money as possible. And I like the fact he's standing his ground and he's willing to do that. God bless him. He believes in himself. But going backwards for back pay, I mean, come on, man. You know, and that's all part of the process. It's part of that process. I mean, I don't know the kid, you know, so I'm assuming a lot here. But that's what brought him to this space where he's at now. You know, this is what's brought him to the wherewithal and having the business acumen to sit here and say this kind of stuff, because you go on that journey, you know what I mean? So he's learned a lot and he's learned his worth and he wants more money. God bless him. But asking for back pay is out of his fucking mind.
Well, it's funny you asked who is advising him. He is now firing his management team and his agents, and he is going to negotiate directly with his father as his only advisor. So, you know, maybe he's drinking a little too much of the AJ McKee Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't sound like his manager and his agent. That sounds like his dad. I mean, I don't know. That sounds like his dad giving him advice. You win $1 million a fight, and we should have had $1 million every fight. What the fuck? We're going to get, how many fights have you had in Bellator, son? Seven? $7 million. No, it's not how it works. Anyway, but God bless him. I hope it does. I hope I'm wrong. I'm hope he gets the $7 million lottery ticket in his next fight.
He also had a little bit of shit talking. He said that he walks through Volkanovski. There's nothing impressive about him. He thinks he easily wins that fight, and he says that he is destined to be a UFC champion one day. It's just going to happen for him. I mean, you said yourself, you don't.
No, I was going to say, well, he's certainly not going to be a Bellator champion for much longer because he's saying all the right things not to get re-signed. I'll tell you that. He said, I'm going to be a UFC champ. I ain't fighting for less than $1 million. I want back pay. Sounds an awful lot to me. Like one AJ McKee is like trying to not get his contract reinstated so he can go elsewhere. That's what that sounds like to me.
AJ McKee about to be a headliner for Eagle FC.
Yeah. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about Shopify. Yes, Shopify, I've been supporting the podcast for a while, so I'm very happy to support them. Listen, if you have a business, you want to take it online, okay? You want to sell to the billions of people around the world. But of course, it's difficult. It can be expensive. It's a minefield. You don't know what you do. But Shopify makes scaling your business very, very easy. It gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big businesses. So upstart startups and established businesses alike, they can sell everywhere and they can synchronize in-person or online sales. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integration and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. You gain insights as you grow as well. So there's all kind of analytics and detailed reporting shows you the strides that you're making. Listen, it's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. This is the possibility, which is powered by Shopify. Listen, at the end of the day, you want to connect with the big wide world. You want to drive sales. You want to manage your day to day. Shopify is more than a store, as I said. And it also instantly lets you accept all major payment methods. That's a big one as well. So anyway, check it out. If you've got a business, you want to be online and you want to do it easy, you want to do it cost effective, you want to get all kind of analytics, Shopify is what you should be using. Go to shopify.com/believe, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Free 14-day trial. Come on, what more do you want? Shopify.com/believe is the website. Check it out. You're going to be taking over the world. Jeff Bezos, here we come. Anyway, let's get back into it. What else have we got? Should we talk about these fights this weekend? I've got about 10 more minutes, sadly. I've got a doctor's appointment. Took me weeks and weeks and weeks to get in. I'm going to go see about my throat so I can swallow a full load going forward without almost dying. I've got to see sick about a number of issues. Yes. I know what I did there. I know what I did. I'll tell you what, do we have questions to finish off with? I know, as I said, it was going to be a shorter one today. It is going to be a shorter one. We apologize. But listen, it's better than nothing, isn't it, Harrington? What else we got? So this weekend, what is it? It's Bilal Muhammad, Vicente Luque.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Bilal Muhammad had, you know, just to color this a little bit, these two guys have fought before, and Vicente Luque turned off Bilal Muhammad's lights. So
pretty quick.
Is there anything in this that makes you think it's going to go differently? Anything since then?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, Muhammad is on. Hold on. There's Luque Wiki. There's great podcasting for you guys. Listen, Bilal Muhammad's doing great things recently. His wrestling is predominantly how he gets it done, right? How does it say this? There it is. It's saying, oh, haven't found that. Can't find it. I'm on the wiki page. Bilal Muhammad recently beat, I think it was Wonderboy, right? And then Damian Maia. I mean, Jesus Christ, since he's lost to Jeff Neal, he's on a tear. Curtis Melendez, Takeshi Sato, Lyman Good, Diego Lima. No contest, Leon Edwards beat Damian Maia and Stephen Thompson by decision. Now, up until Leon, Damian, and Stephen Thompson, no disrespect to the rest of them, they were a definite jump up in competition. Leon Edwards, sadly, that ended pretty quick. But the other two, Maia and Thompson, you know, I mean, he ground them out really, really good. He's very strong. You can see when you look at Bilal, you can see he's strong as fuck. Now, he's on a tear. He's on a long, long win streak. Vicente Luque, that was back in 2016. So 6 years ago, almost. So he's changed, he's improved, he's got better, because that's what you do every single training camp. However, Vicente Luque is an absolute goddamn beast. And I just say, be careful what you wish for, because what are you going to do against Vicente Luque? Take him down and fight him like that. Look what Michael Chiesa did. Michael Chiesa went for a takedown and ended up in a DOS. You know what I mean? Vicente Luque can grapple. He's got knockout power. He submitted Tyron Woodley via Doris. Randy Brown, that was a stoppage. Nico Price, doctor stoppage. What do you say? What do you say? Where's your money going?
I mean, 21 pro wins for Vicente Luque, 19 of them coming by way of finish. I mean, you want to talk about just the most arguably exciting guy in the welterweight division. And it's the guy, to me, who finishes the most fights. The guy who I want to see fight Khamzat more than anybody else. I will remember the name, but my money is going on Vicente Luque.
Yeah, sadly, I have to agree. I mean, listen, I like Bilal. I like everything about him. I really do. He's hilarious. You know, he's a good guy. He is. He's one of the good guys. He really is. But I think he might be outmatched in this fight. I wish him the best. I hope he proves me wrong. I just fail to see what he's going to do. I mean, if he takes him down, you got to be careful with that submission threat. On the feet, history has shown us that he took him out very, very rapidly the first time out. And Luque, much like Bilal, is getting better all the time as well. You know, Vicente Luque flies under the radar, doesn't he, in terms of the attention that he should get. But, I've got Vicente.
This is kind of interesting. Bilal Muhammad, never been submitted before, just fought Damian Maia, did not get submitted there. So, I mean, that is... like, there is a part of me that looks at it and is like, you know, he's got 15 wins by decision. Can he just boring up Vicente Luque, or is Vicente Luque never going to let that happen?
Well, maybe, because that's what happens when you know enough about submission defense, when you don't play the game, when you don't engage in the jiu-jitsu war, and you kind of shell up and just get top position, you get bicep control on top, and then just do enough, just chip away here and there with a little elbow, maybe past a half guard, whatever, just enough so that the referee doesn't stand you up. That can be a very frustrating fight. That's what he did against Damian Maia and many other people. Worth noting, with respect to Damian Maia, you know, Damian Maia, is he retired now? I think he's retired, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think he's gone.
I think that was his last fight.
Yeah. And rightly so, because he's kind of missed a step recently. But Damian Maia, I mean, listen, jiu-jitsu skill never really leaves you. But you get older, you get less explosive, and you want it less. You know what I mean? Even if Maia knew he was going into that one. I'm not discrediting Bilal's win. I would never fucking do that. But there is a potential that Maia went into that knowing it was his last one. So it's like, you know, I want to get a win, but am I willing to die for it, if you know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, that's another guy who, you know, two title fights and you know, nothing doing in either one of them. And it's like, you look at that back half of the career and it's like, you know, I don't know, you can fight out your contract, but where is the drive? Where's the desire at that point? Where do you find motivation after, you know, two title fight losses?
Yeah. And he had a hell of a career. I mean, Damian Maia was around Certainly. For a very, very long time. And just looking at the card here, Miguel Baez is on there taking on Andre Fialo. Miguel Baez, always a lot of fun to watch. The co-main event is Charles Borrello taking on Gadzi Omar Gadziev, which is two guys from the contender. You might not be familiar with those guys, but I'm telling you, that'll be a good fight. Both of those guys came from the contender. I called both their fights. They are fucking physical specimens, so that should be a good one. There's a reason why they're the co-main event. They don't have the name value, but they certainly got the skill. Trust me on that one. Marina Buena Silva, she's up against Wu Yanan, Pat Zabatini, TJ Laramie, Manuela Zez. Who was he?
Ooh, excited for that.
Yeah, he was meant to fight. Who was it? And he got injured. Someone got injured. Manuela says he was meant to fight someone good, someone exciting. I was kind of, Santiago Ponzinibbio, maybe?
Was he? Huh.
I think so. Am I making that up?
I'm trying to look at his, page here, like his Wikipedia.
Tapology.
I can't find it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, you know, I've had to wait weeks to get a doctor's appointment. I have choked. A steak, a hot dog, a stick of sausage.
We almost lost you to a steak.
You almost lost me to a steak. You did.
It was Zaleski Dos Santos.
Do you know, I always get those mixed up. I don't know why. Eliseo Zaleski Dos Santos and Santiago Ponzinibbio.
It's all the Z's.
It is. And they both have similar styles. They both got capoeira backgrounds and they're both potentially from Argentina. I'm just going to say that. I don't think they are. But there's a potential.
Ponzinibbio is, I don't believe.
Ponzinibbio, Santiago. He is. What are you doing this weekend?
I'm watching these fights for sure. I got shows at my club I'm going to be at. And then I have Easter weekend.
Easter weekend. Well, I didn't ask you to plug your bloody comedy club. I said, what are you doing in the weekend, bro?
You asked me what I'm doing. I'm watching fights, working, and going to hang out with my girlfriend's family for a holy holiday.
A holy holiday. My God.
Yeah. We're going to watch the kids like hunt for Easter eggs. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, Harrington, and you as well, Brian. Brian, do we have a question to finish off with? Remember, bwmpod@gmail.com. Send in those questions. Remember, subscribe and ring the bell if you haven't done it. Tell your friends about us. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're available. Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, you name it. The list goes on. We're on there, Harrington.
And if you want to catch over 300 episodes of this podcast, uncensored, ad-free, that you can't find anywhere else, head on over to GasDigitalNetwork.com, use the promo code BYM, get yourself 7 days free, and check out over 25 great shows on the network.
Brian.
All right, so this one is from a gentleman who calls himself Gray FM, and we might need a translator for this, so Bisbing.
Okay, let's go. Gray FM, hit me. No sound. Sorry, dude.
Ooh, hold on.
I do need a translator for that. Leave this in. I do need a translator. Hey, can anyone sign?
Anthony, I'm a massive fan of both of you on the pod, obviously. Had a couple of questions. Many towards Michael, obviously, being from the UK. But my first question was, this can be for both of you, but if Bisping still watches any of KJ's or any of the UK MMA scene, and if so, who his favorite fighter is, not in the UFC or in a major organization. And my second question was that if after you fight with GSP, which unfortunately you lost,
I know.
No need to bring that up.
Or if it was to always have a retirement fight, because I remember after the Gaston fight, you spoke of a UK homecoming slash retirement fight against Rashad Evans, I believe it was, in London or Manchester. But yeah. Wondering if you ever, if the plan was always to retire shortly after the GSP fight.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. What was I going to say at the beginning? What did he say?
He asked if there's anybody on like the regional scene in cage.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You know, to be honest, there's so much UFC content these days. And obviously being a commentator, I have to try and watch as much of it as I can. So I don't get too much. I just don't have the time, sadly. If I was in the UK, and they were there, I would go to the event, but I'm not. And it's a long way to fly. So I don't catch up with them, sadly. I was actually just in Manchester when there was one on, but I'd had a very long day. I was very tired. And plus I had drinks and food to have with George St. Pierre. So I did that instead. Now, favorite fighter outside the UFC, Harrington.
I'm just saying, how cool would that be for those Cage Warriors fighters if they look over and standing cage side, it's just Bisping and GSP watching them? Like, impress me, kid.
It would have been good, but we were at a restaurant getting drunk, and we did get drunk. Talking of which, I haven't had a drink in over a week now. Look at these cheekbones are coming back. You know, come on. Favorite fighter outside the UFC, Michael Venom Page. Love watching that guy fight. Love his energy. Love what he brings to the table. In fact, I think he's got a fight coming up. I'll reach out. We'll get him back on the show. Second part of the question, retirement fight. Yeah, that was always the plan. But, I said I would retire after I lost the belt to Rebecca. That's what I promised her. Lost to George. That stupid opportunity came up for Gastelum. I was like, fuck it. Let's jump in, roll the dice, get another payday. Plus, I thought I could win. Didn't go my way, but whatever. And then I was essentially done. But then I thought, I'll have one more in England. I'll have a little cheeky one. But never materialized. You know what's not going to materialize? Anymore of the podcast. I have waited for weeks for this doctor's appointment. I pay $2,600 a month for my fucking health insurance, and I've had to wait for weeks. So I can't miss it. If you know, I don't want to die.
That's so much more than my rent.
People insurance. That's what I was about to say, dude.
Yeah. But I've had a lot of surgeries. Do you know what I mean? They're like, if we're going to take this guy on, it's going to be a problem. He's had 17,000 eye surgeries. He's got no knees. He's got half a neck and he's actually fucking psychotic. Yeah, it's going to be a lot.
Okay.
But that's the whole family of five, though, as well. But still, okay. Don't want to miss the appointment. Guys.
All right.
Go on. What did you have?
So I was there that night that you lost to GSP, and I spoke to your manager, Audie, right after the fight, right? Me and him had a real quick conversation, and he told me he wanted to see you retire that night. I don't know if he's ever told you that or anybody else. What if you had beaten GSP? Was that the plan?
No, the plan was to defend the belt three times. and then retired. That's what I was trying to do. That would have been two, you know, but whatever. Hey, listen, it is what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Just a quick one for you. Hope you enjoyed the little bonus episode. As I say, when I do have the time, we are going to try and do two a week moving forward. Just sometimes life happens and gets in the way. Monday, we're back. Anthony Smith will be here. Hamzat should be joining. Darren Till should be joining. And some other guests as well. Harrington, Brian, much appreciated. And thank you very much. Give the guys a follow, DM Harrington on Twitter and Instagram. Also, B McKay is right, B-M-A-C-K-A-Y. B McKay is right from Brian. And that's about it. Enjoy your weekends. Take care. Much love. Adios. Peace out. Go fuck yourself.